It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Dugout. My name is Ben. I'm joined with Justin today. We're back with another episode. Today we are going to be discussing the top 10 fights in MLB history in honor of just recently Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson getting into it. It should be a fun list. There's some good ones, especially, you know, in the 80s and 90s. There was a lot of fighting going on. So this should be a fun list to cover.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's some that I forgot about, honestly, as we were going through. So I'm excited to dive back in.
Yeah. I know. All right. So number 10, we'll start off with Charlie Hayes and Todd Stottlemyre, April 16th, 1999. It was the Diamondbacks versus the Giants. You know, the pitcher, Stottlemyre, thought Hayes was cussing him out. He was yelling. Hayes was yelling at himself, and they got into it. This was a brutal one. It kind of looked like running in all the way from second.
Yeah.
Right to the back.
Yeah, you don't
I think
see a lot
so
of
my favorite part of this clip was the best part of this was Randy Johnson putting on the wrong hat after the brawl.
Yeah,
he picks up the giant
in the future
hat, puts it on, realizes
the
it doesn't fit. Yeah, realizes it doesn't fit, looks at it, and he's just baffled by it.
Yeah, he's lost in the fisticuffs that are going on. Yeah, you don't see many second base to the mound fights, I would say. So that's a rare one.
That's definitely, I mean, that Diamondbacks team. Definitely not a team I'd pick a fight with, especially like Randy Johnson, 6'10". Like, yeah. It's not a team you want to square up with.
No, they're new. They're hungry. You know, it was a bold move. And I feel like ultimately he missed his opening punch and then nothing really happened after that for Hayes there. So, yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And you don't really see many brawls start from second. Like you usually it's a lot of, you know, mound charge or charging the mound from the batter's box, but starting from second base is something you don't see very often.
It was unique, and he went with the over. You know, he didn't really come in like an uppercut or anything.
Yeah, I know.
That's an interesting strategy.
Yeah, it definitely is. All right, so we're gonna move on to number 9. This one is infamous. I think everybody has seen this before, especially those from Boston and New York. We have Pedro Martinez and Don Zimmer in 2003. Of course, Pedro threw a questionable pitch up and in. Some words were exchanged, and they started charging after the retaliation to Manny Ramirez. And Don Zimmer just runs at Pedro. And a lot of people, you know, this was big when it happened. You know, a lot of people were upset that Pedro Martinez threw an old man, 72 years old, to the ground. But he's running full speed at him. Like, yes, you probably didn't have to throw him to the ground to stop him. But, you know, it's kind of like the F around, find out meme. Don Zimmer decided to F around and he found out. So obviously I'm a Boston, you know, biased Boston fan, but I don't think what Pedro did was that wrong. Just based on the circumstances, if you as a 72-year-old man decide to charge the best pitcher in baseball, so be it. That's on you. You got to pay the consequences.
Yeah, I think what you said is perfect. I mean, if you're gonna go about it that way, you're gonna find out. So when you're full sprinting, I think that agreed. I know, ideally you'd like to see him not throw him, but I mean, in that situation, the guy's running full speed at you. I don't really know what else you'd do there, but. Yeah, this fight just takes me back to those like early mid 2000s Red Sox Yankee that classic rivalry, man, with all those stars on each side.
Yeah, I know.
Man, some peak baseball right there. But yeah, I mean, everybody's seen this clip if you're a baseball fan.
The rivalry needs to come back. It needs to be revived. It's been a while since they've been, you know, competitive with each other. I mean, especially the past, you know, the recent years, it's either, you know, one of the teams are bad or both the teams are bad.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've had a good solid Red Sox Yankees rivalry. Moving on to the next year, 2004. Again, everyone knows Alex Rodriguez versus Jason Varitek. This, I'm surprised that this is 8 on this list. I thought this would have been much higher. This is probably one of the most iconic sports moments in history, never mind just baseball. Obviously, it starts when, you know, A-Rod gets plunked. A-Rod was not loved in Boston. He had some words, and you know, Jason Varitek stuck up for his pitcher and threw the glove in his face. Just an incredible brawl. I mean, I forget who this is, but he walked away with a bloody ear. I forget his name. Yeah, I mean, just again, classic Yankees Red Sox rivalry. It's been a long time since that. This is just one of the marquee moments in you know, between the Red Sox and the Yankees, and just in sports history as well. This has just been wow.
Yeah, that's a memorable one for sure, especially at that time. You know, you got A-Rod pretty new to the Yanks, and just again another classic Red Sox Yankees rivalry. Tension at any moment, every pitch is just kind of on the front part of your chair there, just watching to see what would happen. And this is exactly what was so exciting about kind of that old school Red Sox Yankees rivalry there for sure.
So this next one, pretty brutal. So we have Mike Mussina versus Bill Hasselman in 1993. This is one I have never heard of. Orioles, Mariners. Hasselman got, you know, plunked by Mike Mussina of then the Orioles. Obviously, you know, most people know him for the Yankees.
Yep.
This is how people walked away. So Chris Bosio suffered a broken collarbone. Another player, Jeff Tackett, needed stitches, and Ripken's consecutive games played streak was jeopardized because he sprained his knee. So, we might have never gotten to see the Iron Man Cal Ripken, you know, break that record because of this brawl. I mean, that would have been a huge course in history, because that's 100%. A record that probably will never ever be touched. No. So just imagine if, you know, he had to miss a game because of this.
Yeah, it would have changed. Like I said, altered history for sure. And agreed. I don't think we'll ever see that record just because I don't think, you know, people, even if they're 100% healthy, will continue to play every day. But yeah, this one is, the epitome of a full team brawl. I mean, he had like a full just like wrestling match on the mound. Another Randy Johnson fight, by the way. He's hopping in there too, and he was with the Mariners there as well. So this is like, and it kept going, and it was flair, you know, passion, emotion, like
20
from
minutes.
Everybody
lasted nearly 20 minutes.
You don't see fights like this anymore.
Seven suspensions. No.
Yeah, if you're not even the person that really came out of it, like instigating the fight, and you broke your collarbone, I mean, that's full team on team, just brawling. So an entertaining one. I hadn't really heard of this one either, so I'm glad I got to to see this because it's crazy.
It just feels like in all sports now, like in the 80s and 90s, there's so much animosity, you know, in every sport. You know, you had the Malice in the Palace, you know, you had, you know, these fights in basketball. You know, Dennis Rodman was just a menace on the court. Hockey fights were much more brutal in hockey as well. Obviously, you know, hockey's still, you know, there's still a good amount of fights in hockey. But again, like, you know, nowadays you don't see as much brutalness out of it. Football mostly, you know, due to the rule changes also. But like you had Terrell Owens standing on the star and the guy comes and clocks him out of nowhere. And then baseball too, like there's way more animosity like back in the 90s and things like that. And like, just for whatever reason, I don't know really what to attribute it to, across all four, you know, major sports in the US, but there's just, you know, you don't get stuff like this anymore. And like, is it good for the game? Maybe not, but is it good for exposure? Is it fun? Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any fans would complain with more situations like this, with more heated rivalries, more heated moments. You know, I don't know. It seems like all four sports have just toned down in the past 20 or so years. And maybe it's just, the different era of players, and, you know, I don't know what it is, but especially now with, you know, the media coverage nowadays, I think that like these moments like this in today's games would do a lot for a lot of sports.
No, I agree, man. I think it would just, it's that passion. It's that raw emotion. You know, I mean, this happened in 1993. We're still talking about it today. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of it's probably the fact that, like, if you do anything, you're going to end up on Twitter or on X or, you know, Instagram or whatever the case may be immediately. And I feel like a lot of these guys, they got their brand deals and stuff, and they're like, this just ain't worth it. So, yeah, I agree. Like you said, I don't know if
I think
great for the game, but
definitely a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think also, too, like, you know, especially like we see with the NFL now, like how much they protect quarterbacks. And I really hate it. Like, I hate, you know, with the product of the game that the NFL has turned into. Like, you can't play defense anymore. There's never going to be a Cam Chancellor or Sean Taylor or an Ed Reed anymore just because of the way you have to play the game, which I think hurts the game. And I think that robs, you know, especially, you know, the future generations of being able to see players like that. But at the same time, like, I think a lot of the owners and things like that are much more aware and business savvy of, you know, how things were back in the 80s and 90s and that these now, like, especially with the money and the contracts we see now, like, these players are your investment. So if you allow them to, you know, go out and be brawling and break your collarbone and things like that, you know, that's obviously not going to be a great look for someone you invest a lot of money in. So I think that's definitely, you know, a major part of it. But again, like, it takes a lot away from the product of the game. You know, just outside of baseball too. I think, you know, all sports, it kind of, like, especially basketball now, like, basketball, you know, there's no defense played in basketball anymore. Like, it's, every game is a glorified all-star game at this point. You're seeing 120, 130 point games. You know, it's very minimal contact, and, you know, I get it's safe and whatnot, but just everything's been toned down just for the sake of the money. But I think that it also comes at the cost of entertainment.
No, I totally agree, man. I mean, you think too, because, you know, love basketball, for example, baseball, football. I mean, the rules change to tailor the offense, right? To make it more exciting, a more easily digestible product for people on TV. And, you know, it's so that they can get more eyes on it, make more money, you know, which obviously if you're, you know, any looking at it from a business perspective, totally makes sense. But to your point, I feel like the game suffers a little bit and you're starting to see that a lot for sure.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to move on to number six. Obviously, this happened very recently. Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson. Again, like, another fight that I thought would be a little bit higher on this list. Obviously, we'll continue to discuss, you know, the one, twos, and threes on this list, because they are pretty good as well. But I can't remember a fight where I saw someone get knocked out from a hook. Like, me personally, like, even in hockey, I can't remember, you know, seeing, like, a big fight where someone gets, you know, absolutely KO. I'm sure it's happened in hockey, but a KO on the middle of the baseball field is unheard of. And, you know, the call by Tom Hamilton was just perfect as well. It was like you're at a boxing match. This fight confused me though, for a multitude of reasons, because if you watch the play, right, like, so Jose Ramirez dives in to second base under Tim Anderson holds a tag on him, which, you know, pretty typical for someone who, you know, kind of slides over the base. Jose Ramirez got really upset about that. So I didn't know, like, don't get me wrong, I love that Jose Ramirez KO'd him. I wasn't really sure why Jose Ramirez was really upset about it in the first place. But Tim Anderson, you know, wanted it with him too, put his hands up. And I think that's the best part, is Tim Anderson dropped his gloves and put his hands up before Jose Ramirez did. He wanted to go.
Oh, yeah.
Misses one jab. Jose Ramirez connects with one. And then that right hook. Tim Anderson out.
Down goes Anderson. Yeah, but, I mean, to your, like you said, that call was just perfect. I'm glad the announcers kind of have some fun with it. And yeah, man, I mean, when you're looking at that fight initially, you see Anderson throw his glove down, you're thinking, oh man, Anderson came to play. This isn't his first rodeo. And then very quickly things changed, and just, yeah, getting dropped like that was, to your point, I don't think I've ever seen that outside of like an actual professional boxing or MMA fight. And it was just insane. And for Tim Anderson, man, he goes from starting shortstop for the AL last year to not having like a home run for over a full calendar year, you know, just having a rough year, gets knocked out. I mean, it's how fast things can change. And a perfect example of that is this fight, where he just goes from looking like he's ready to go to very quickly out for the count.
You found out.
You sure did.
The best part was, like, I think it was last weekend when Miggy came to town and they were doing his retirement thing, and Miggy brought out the boxing gloves and squared up with Jose Ramirez. That was funny.
No, that was awesome. Yeah, I saw the scoreboard. It said that he's officially, like, you know, undefeated. He's got one knockout and then one no decision after his bout with Miggy before the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I appreciate the fight. I appreciate the entertainment they gave to us. Again, though, I still really don't understand why Jose Ramirez was that upset about it, but provided some great entertainment value, so we'll take it.
100%.
All right, moving on to number five, we have Tino Martinez and Armando Benitez. Tino Martinez has been involved in a lot of these. I think there's three of these so far. His name was mentioned. Now he gets to headline this one. Mm-hmm. So this was back in 98 as well, New York. First Auras, so the older New York teams were like super hot-headed teams. Yeah. Like these teams were. So Armando Benitez threw a frustration pitch right into the back of Tino. It was his second hit by pitch of the game, so obviously not too happy. Benitez was immediately ejected, but he wanted it, so he kept on talking to the Yankees. Benitez, honestly, you know, held his own. He took on quite a few Yankees on his own by himself. And then things would kind of settle a little bit, another punch. Things would settle a little bit, another punch. And the umpires literally couldn't do anything. So they just let it play out. 8-game suspension for Benitez. You know, he was not the only one suspended. This was a good one. This one was fun. I liked this one a lot. Tino Martinez, again, just has his name in a lot of these articles.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, another, you know, kind of 90s, just that grit, like you're saying, that the Yankees team really kind of matching the vibe of the city back then, I feel like. And but yeah, credit to Benitez, man. I mean, he was ready to go, and he took on a few Yankees, and like you said, held his own pretty well, honestly. Which a lot of these ones that we've seen so far, man, the pitcher, it seems like immediately they're the ones that are going to the ground. So good for him. The busy fall season is already in swing, and if you're anything like us at Clutch Points, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Too busy this fall to cook, but want to make sure you're eating well to get into the ring shape? With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. Factor's never frozen fresh meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy, then get back to crushing your goals. I tried the vegan mushroom marsala, and to say it was one of the best meals I've had is an understatement. Level up with gourmet plus options, prepared to perfection by chefs, and ready to eat in record time. Treat yourself to upscale meals with premium ingredients like broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, and asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/dugout50 and use code dugout50 to get 50% off. That's code dugout50 at factormeals.com/dugout50 to get 50% off. GTG.
All right, so we're going to move on to number 4. We got Juan Marichal and John Roseborough, 1965. This one, another one I know prior knowledge to. this one had a little, you know, this one had a little context to it. So this started Juan Marichal, obviously Hall of Fame pitcher for the Giants, great pitcher, was coming inside to some of the Dodgers players. They, you know, they didn't love that. Obviously, this is back when pitchers hit, so Juan Marichal came up to the plate. Dodgers catcher catches a strike from Marichal, throws the ball back to Sandy Koufax, grazes Marichal's ear, which probably, this is probably a little overreaction by Juan Marichal. You know, I've thrown quite a few baseballs back to the pitcher that I've gotten, you know, close to the batter, just, you know, based on where they're standing.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Juan Marichal didn't like it. This leads to an all-out brawl. Juan Marichal was taking swings at the catcher Roseborough with his bat. And if you watch the video, there's whoever was on deck comes out with their bat, wielding it like one hand, like it's a sword.
Yep.
Doesn't do anything with it, but I mean, there.
When you're getting bats involved, I mean, this fight, like you said, I mean, there's definitely some context there. I think you kind of see it. You know, definitely a lot of passion there for sure. Like it had kind of been boiling up, but, yeah, the guy on deck comes out. I mean, luckily these guys don't swing anything too hard. I mean, you'd think it's kind of like a gentleman's agreement.
Full swing, yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, let's not bring the bats mm-hmm. into this, 'cause that's some serious injuries there. But, yeah, you don't really see that too often. This is really talking about old school fights and what have you. I mean, this was, you know, in the 60s, what we were talking about earlier with monetization and all that stuff, this did not exist back then, for sure.
No. So Roseborough, you know, walked away with a bloody eye. Brawl went 14 minutes, and of course, the hero in the end was Willie Mays, as he shielded Roseborough from any other confrontation. Just a crazy fight. You don't see many people take the bat out with them. And, you know, we've seen Bryce Harper try and use the helmet and whatnot, but the bat is, I mean, that's a weapon. The bat's a weapon. Yeah,
legitimate weapon. Exactly.
I can only imagine what would happen nowadays if that happened. I mean, if that happened nowadays, if someone ran out with a bat out, oh my goodness.
Yeah, they could probably kiss that year, their season goodbye. I'm feeling at least a 1-year suspension on that if they even thought about bringing a bat to a fight.
All right, moving on to number 3 on our list, we have Nolan Ryan versus Robin Ventura. Another one of the just famous brawls. Obviously, the famous picture, Nolan Ryan walking away, you know, blood on his jersey. Yeah, 46-year-old Nolan Ryan plunks 26-year-old Robin Ventura. Obviously, Ventura, you know, a great player in his own right, but you're running at someone 20 years older than you. I mean, he's pretty much double Robin Ventura's age. You would think, like, if you, you know, read a headline said 26-year-old brawls a 46-year-old, you'd probably, you know, think the 26-year-old come out on top. But, you know, Nolan Ryan's obviously a different breed. Ventura runs up. Nolan Ryan immediately gets him in a headlock, and he is just pounding the living daylight out of Robin Ventura's head. It was just textbook by Nolan Ryan. I mean, his hat's off. He's got, you know, half a bald head of hair. I mean, it was just savvy by Nolan Ryan. Immediately into the headlock, he knew exactly what he wanted to do with this fight. This was Nolan Ryan's, you know, I would have to imagine 20-something a year in the league. So I'm sure, you know, he saw his fair share of balls and whatnot. So he was ready to go for this one. Yeah. I mean, Nolan Ryan landed some good ones in here.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, I mean, the form was immaculate. I feel like you can almost show this to like an MMA fighter for like a textbook way to kind of utilize your chokehold there with the punch. And then, yeah, I mean, Nolan Ryan is 93. So he's probably, you know, he's been in the 70s, that old school baseball stuff we were just talking about before. So, I mean, this definitely wasn't his first rodeo. You could tell that. If you're Robin Ventura, I'm sure that was kind of a shock. I'm thinking if you're a 26-year-old peak athlete and you're like, I'm going against a 46-year-old pitcher, I could probably take this guy, and then immediately find out that that is incorrect. That must have been pretty tough. But Nolan Ryan, he's just an anomaly, man. I mean, everything that guy did on the baseball field was incredible. And this is right along with those things as well.
And then to add insult to injury, Robin Ventura's replacement, you know, goes up to first base, of course, because he was hit by the pitch. And Nolan Ryan picks him off.
It's just, yeah, I mean, this for Robin Ventura is the ultimate F around and find out. And he found out. And yeah, I mean, Nolan Ryan, just the sheriff on that field and showing it after he takes out Ventura and then takes out the pinch runner. That's just pure dominance right there.
And again, something, you know, something in the 90s that you wouldn't see today is, you know, Nolan Ryan got to stay in the game.
Crazy. That would never happen.
Regardless of how many punches he got to throw, Nolan Ryan got to stay in the game.
That is insane. Because to your point, I mean, even if nowadays, even if there's a brawl and there's no fights or anything like that, like in terms of like no punches thrown, but just kind of a scuffle, those guys are out. You know what I mean? And after all this, just repeated dome rocking punches. And then he's like, all right, cool, let's go. I'm going to get back up there, face the next guy. Yeah. I mean, I like you said earlier, man, I miss this part of baseball because it's really just kind of like that grit, that excitement. I mean, entertaining for sure, but just kind of like letting raw emotions happen. It's not as much of a business transaction as it is today. So, man, a classic.
All right, number two again. Another iconic moment. Jose Bautista versus Rougned Odor in 2016. This was a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everyone remembers the Blue Jays and the Rangers ALDS the year prior. Rangers were not happy with Jose Bautista's bat flip. Next year, Jose Bautista slides into Rougned Odor. A little bit hard. Definitely, you know, with the rules nowadays, definitely wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
Hops up, wants to fight. And again, like, Rougned Odor gives him a little shove. He wanted the smoke. Bautista, you know, reaches with the left. Kind of connects, but it wasn't really a punch. It was, you know, he kind of just reached at him. Left that left side wide open, Rougned Odor right to the cheek. I'm honestly surprised Bautista didn't get KO'd here either. I mean, this was a clean punch from Odor. He connected cleanly. Didn't get the ear flap of the helmet, just straight to the cheek. And then he slaps him on the top of the head with his glove. That was the best part.
Yeah, his combo was impressive. And to your point, man, I mean, Bautista obviously came out the loser in this fight, but kudos to his jaw because that was, I mean, a clean connect. Like you said, missed the helmet, hit him so hard the glasses are flying, and then the combo to follow up. I mean, Odor, you know, I know he's still in the league, but afterwards, if he ever wants to start fighting, I think he's got a chance because that was... spear form right there.
It was. It still shocks me to this day how Bautista didn't, you know, go out cold from that. That was a clean punch from Odor. And, you know, Odor's a strong cat too, so knocks the glasses off. Like, it just feels like he'd be KO'd. But, you know, credit to Bautista, held his own. Obviously, yeah, came out the loser, looked like a fool, but didn't end up like Tim Anderson, which is the better part of that exchange for Jose Bautista. Before we get to number one, I do have a couple honorable mentions. Number one, I know it was in a minor league game. I can't remember exactly who it was. I'm sure you have seen the clip. Batter gets hit by the pitch, looks back, drop kicks the catcher, and charges the mound. That to me, that is one of the better ones I've ever seen. Again, like it was in the 80s or the 90s, but you know, in a AAA game. But to just take it out on the catcher and put your foot right in his chest. I mean, unsuspecting, unaware. Guy just turns around after getting hit, puts the catcher on his head. I mean, that is just crazy. Absolutely crazy. And then another one was a few years ago. It was, you know, Amir Garrett was on the Reds. And the Reds and the Pirates have had their fair share of issues the past few years. I mean, that's kind of a mini rivalry there. I can't remember exactly. I don't remember if Amir Garrett hit what Amir Garrett was chirping at their entire bench. Bench was chirping back, whatnot. Amir Garrett gets pulled from the game after he gives up the ball to his manager. Looks at the Pirates dugout. He starts chirping at the Pirates dugout. I don't know if you remember this or not.
Yep.
Half the Pirates dugout's like on the field. Amir Garrett by himself runs over. He landed a pretty clean shot. I forget the pitcher's name, but he landed a pretty clean shot on one of the pitchers, like right. Left hook, like right to his cheek. You know, it wasn't a big brawl like one of these, but to go after the entire bench on your own, take some balls, and you know, big ups to Amir Garrett for that. He didn't back down from that, went right at him, landed a pretty good hook, and came out, you know, didn't come out too beat up. So
no, Garrett, that one is impressive because, like you said, he's literally challenging the whole team, and when he runs up, that team is like, oh, I'm scared of this guy. Like, he's literally one dude, and they're all like, do I really want to get into this right now? And then he lands just that clean hook, and then even more of them are like, I'm going to try to be around just so it looks like I'm here to help, but I really don't want to get involved. And, yeah, I mean, to go, here's the ball, and sprint immediately over, like you said, take some balls. That was a pretty alpha move by Garrett there. I that's one of my favorites.
It was. And then another one, obviously, the Joe Kelly Flight Club against, was it Tyler Austin, I think, on the Yankees. Kelly was, yeah. You know, so this was in retaliation to, I think it was Tyler Austin who slid into Brock Holt. Joe Kelly obviously didn't like that. And Joe Kelly's a savage. I mean, Joe Kelly does what Joe Kelly wants to do. Obviously, you know, we all know his, you know, infamous mocking Carlos Correa. But Joe Kelly beams him. Tyler Austin didn't like it. It might have been Tyler Wade. I think it was Tyler Wade. Slams his bat into the ground, breaks his bat out of frustration, which just no reason to do that. Then wants to, you know, fight Joe Kelly. And keep in mind, like, Tyler Wade was, you know, a considerably large human. He's much bigger than Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, you know, pretty stringy, like throws the ball hard, but, you know, not, you know, a huge guy. Joe Kelly throws his glove down, gives him the hand motion, like, come on. Again, like kind of like Nolan Ryan, gets him in the headlock and is just landing haymakers on him. And just, again, another great fight. Another one I would have loved to see on this list. But Joe Kelly was an absolute savage for that. He wanted all the smoke, gave it to Tyler Wade. And just, again, another great Yankees-Red Sox moment. There's a lot of them. And that one, near and dear to my heart. That was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it threw it back to kind of like what we saw earlier with some of that old school just rivalry. And, yeah, I mean, Tyler Austin. It's a big dude. And Joe Kelly's like, I do not care. Come out here. Come get some. And held his own against a much bigger opponent. Joe Kelly's just, I mean, that guy, talk about entertainment. He never backs down from anything. It's awesome to watch anytime he's on the field.
No, he does not. All right, so we're going to move on to number one. This one, I had never heard of this one, and I'm shocked, honestly. So this is back in 1984, Padres versus the Braves. Entire game, just back and forth. Pitchers, you know, hitting each other, both teams. The Padres try to hit the Braves starter, Pascual Perez, on all of his first four at-bat. The pitcher, the other pitcher, tried to hit him, the other pitcher, four times. They were well, first of all, it's very sad that it took them, took a major league pitcher four tries to land one pitch, especially to, you know, a pitcher who doesn't get many at-bats. You know, he kind of, you know, doesn't, you know, a lot of other players are used to getting out of the way of balls and whatnot. Finally successful in the eighth inning, brawl breaks loose. 17 total players, managers, and coaches were ejected by the end of it. And again, this is back when, like, you know, you obviously remember, like, the, you know, Hank Aaron record-breaking home run. All the fans are on the field. Like,
yeah.
The Yankees winning the pennant that one year, like all the fans on the field. This is back when fans didn't care. They didn't care what fans did. Fans always on the field. We had multiple fans get in on this fight. They were arrested. But just an absolutely wild scene. You know, you have, you know, 25 players plus probably 10, 15 coaches from both sides of the of the dugouts fighting, and then on top of it, you have just these random fans on the field fighting with the players. And like, obviously grateful that this didn't happen, but this was like way back before we had security at games, and you know, there could have been some lunatic with a shiv or something. And so obviously, thankfully, that didn't happen, but just an absolutely wild scene. I'm glad, you know, fans can't do that nowadays, because that, you know, obviously we saw like the Ronald Acuna Jr. incident the other day, which was just wild as well. But
yeah.
A fans, players, coaches, and managers brawl is just absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I would go as far as to say you'll never see another fight like this in MLB history. You know, obviously, like you're saying, I mean, in the 80s had that awesome blend of like, baseball's huge, you can watch it anywhere on TV, but it's also like no security, you know, yep. Just very hometown, small field at the same time. I'd never heard of this one either, man. And honestly, I'm surprised that I hadn't, because this is absolutely insane. The ending where it's still kind of building, and there's a shirtless player, and there's fans throwing beer, and they're getting arrested, and you can tell the umpires, especially back then, they're like, I didn't sign up for this. I'm just going to let this play out. But I mean, to your point as well, watching that pitcher try to hit the other pitcher four times and miss four times, I don't think that guy's in the league today if he played in this generation, because that's pretty pitiful. And just own it, right? Like, and he's trying to not get thrown out, which ultimately he does on the fourth pitch. Like, just throw it right at him. Don't try to do this sly, like, oh, inside fastball. Oh, I accidentally hit you. You know, it was obviously intentional. So, yeah, this one, I mean, I could see why it's number one. I'm glad that I was exposed to it, because, you know, it is pretty crazy, in the numbers and the fans, you know, that part of it. I think it puts it at a solid spot to be number one. I mean, the 2 and 3, those are maybe some more personal classics to me. So, I might rank those a little bit higher. But when you start getting fans arrested and whatnot, it makes sense why this one's up at the top.
I mean, again, like similar to Amir Gary, you had a Padres player go on his own to the dugout. The entire Braves dugout is on top of this guy. You had one beer can come in, and then this fan steps up onto the top of the dugout and just dunks this guy with some sort of beverage, which just, again, like adding insult to injury. Champ Summers took on the entire Braves dugout and a fan. Just a wild scene. This was a great, a well-deserving number one. Obviously, we talked about a lot of these, you know, maybe being a little bit higher. But that one, to me, well-deserving. When you got fans getting arrested for getting into the onto the brawl, it's a good brawl. So, do you have a favorite?
Oh, a favorite? Oh, man, you know, honestly, I remember that 2016 fight with Batista and Odor. Just because of, like you said, like the lead up to it, you know, you got that Batista backflip.
Yeah,
I'm not a Blue Jays fan, but just that electricness of like, oh man, they're in the playoffs, you know, all that excitement. And I remember like when this happened, just rewatching it, seeing it on SportsCenter, and like I just couldn't believe it because of just how the fight turned out, where Odor just rocked him so crazily. So for me, I think it pulled a lot of emotion there, just because I just remember being so in tune with it. So I would say that's probably my favorite, just because that was like, it's 2016. That's a long time past a lot of these fights too. So that was also, I feel like, pretty rare to see something like that. You know, I would say that one for me for sure. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's tough. Cause I love the big elaborate brawls where everyone's in on it.
Yeah.
But like there's something poetic about just a clean right hook knocking Tim Anderson out. Because, again, just something you never see. Like, just one clean stroke and he's out on the ground. And that was really – I mean, obviously, there, you know, there's a little bit more to the brawl. But you just – it's fun to see. Obviously, I feel bad for Tim Anderson because, you know, his life is ruined because of that now. But it was really cool to see. Especially, you know, again, like, as you said, like, 2016 was well past, you know, the 80s and the 90s. 2023, well past then, too. So, it's just something, you know, you don't see a lot. And it was kind of it was, you know, a renaissance moment for Major League Baseball. So, I think that was that takes the cake for me.
Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think anybody had that on their 2023 MLB season bingo card. Us getting a pure one-on-one fight, getting knocked out. Crazy.
Yeah, so that will do it. Those are the top 10 fights in baseball history, plus some honorable mentions. If there's any other honorable mentions that you can think of, let us know. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's a lot more brawls out there, you know, that we didn't get to talk about. But yeah, thank you, Justin, for joining me. This was The Dugout. Appreciate you guys for listening. Podcast is out everywhere you can listen to podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify, anywhere else. I don't know the other ones. Obviously, feel free to drop a comment in the comment section below. Like the video and subscribe. And thank you guys for watching.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, guys.